Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You guys know that Pete Sweeney is my brother, man. I love Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney is going to be on our podcast next week. Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. This week, we did High School Musical, if you want to check that out, wherever you get podcasts from. Next week, we are doing Baywatch, and Pete Sweeney is going to be our guest. The Baywatch movie with The Rock and Zac Efron. Pete wasn't really a big fan of it. So, Pete Sweeney sent this tweet out at about 1 o'clock. I'm going to write more notes on this on the website, but there's a chance that Chiefs fans are excited about the wrong Ross. Now, this is where I turn into a hater, and I don't want to be a hater, but I'm just trying to give you guys the numbers and the facts. No. That's it. You guys want to go through the career of John Ross? Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, now he plays with Patrick Mahomes. Now he plays with Andy Reid. No! Stop it. This is a result of boredom. John Ross was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. He has 957 receiving yards in his career. No! Stop doing this to yourself. We don't have to do this every offseason. It's like Chiefs fans meet up. And I don't know where they meet up. Rob, you were just at some beer festival. It was at Arrowhead, so maybe that's where it is. And you're just not privy to where this meet happens. They're going to have this barbecue fest in the parking lot there. I'll let you know if I see this. And you know what happens? It's like Chiefs fans spin the wheel. And then they determine what lottery pick player we're just going to put all of our hope and resources into. And sometimes it hits. Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick. He had a lot of hype and buzz last year. And you know what? It hit. Isaiah Pacheco turned out to be one of the better running backs in the NFL. I was wrong about Isaiah Pacheco. I'm high on him now. I'm even higher on him than some of you guys are for this upcoming season. But we don't got to do this every single year. John Ross is a bust. He's not going to get the usage. He's not going to get the targets. Hell, he might not even make the team. You don't got to get excited about John Ross or Justin Ross or Rick Ross or any of them. No. Let's stop doing this. Andy Reid was asked about it today. Rob, did Pete ask this question? Was Pete the person that asked this?
Pete asked about both of the Rosses today.
Listen to Andy Reid.
Listen, I like both the Rosses, you know, big and little. The big one is coming along. He feels good. His foot feels good. The surgery that he had worked out well up to this point. He's made some nice plays for us out here. I know Pat's got trust in him, so that's good to see. And the smaller Ross is extremely fast and quick. And before he got hurt, he was onto a pretty good season. And so he, I like what I see there, too.
Is he faster than you thought? He stood out there.
Well, he's the one that jumped out at everybody at the combine, just when he ran. I mean, he was extremely fast. I think he set a record there, I believe. So he can move. He can skedaddle. And he's smart, which you need to be in this thing, so.
This happens every offseason, and then I end up having to be the villain. Like, oh, why are you not hopeful? Remember the last two offseasons we did this with Jody Fortson. Hey, Carrington, you're a hater, man. Jody Fortson's going to have 8 touchdowns on 11 targets. No, he's not. I got to be the one to do that. Someone on the text line sends this. C-Dot, it's not like we're desperate for hope for random bad players. We just won a championship. I don't get all the Ross hype. I think it's we get bored of talking about the same 12 people, so we like for the offseason to have a little bit of intrigue and mystery. I can't come on here and tell you every single day that Patrick Mahomes is good. You know that Patrick Mahomes is good. I can't come on here and tell you every day that Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the NFL. You already know that he's the best tight end. If I kept saying that, you guys would get bored and stop listening to the show. So we got to find new players to talk about and discuss. That's where this Justin Ross and Rick Ross and John Ross and Betsy Ross, that's where all this comes from. John Ross is not going to help this team. He's probably not even going to make the team. I'm not going to spend too much more time here talking about somebody who might have 9 catches for 51 yards this season for the Chiefs. Stop letting Pete Sweeney and anybody at football practice in May stop lying to you. That's what Pete is. He's a liar.
I don't know why you're hating on Pete Sweeney.
Love Pete, but he's a liar.
He was a guest on this radio program last year in OTAs, and he had the audacity, the courage to have the take MVS is wide receiver 1. And was he right?
No. He was not right at all, actually. He was wrong.
He went on to come on this show and say more bold OTAs takes in 2022, like keep your eye out for Malik Herring. And he was what this season?
Is he still around? Stop listening to Pete.
You know, now that I say it out loud, Malik Herring and MVS were big misses by him.
Huge misses. Pete didn't get nothing right last year. You guys make – that's why I said earlier, you guys always get on me, but don't – no one else gets held accountable for their wrong takes. Just me. I'm the only person that gets held accountable. Rob came over here and told you the Broncos are making the playoffs last year and has received no backlash from it. Nobody calls him Bronco Rob. Nobody calls him Broncos Bobby. Nobody calls him that. But I got to be Chargers Dot because one time I believed in the Chargers. You guys aren't right. You guys aren't fair. And it really hurts my feelings. But nobody cares. Nobody. Who's looking out for me? Ain't nobody praying for me. Andy Reid also said this, which I'm a little surprised that he said this, but he said it nonetheless.
Yeah, so the tight ends can work into that spot. We know Noah can do all of that, and that's kind of where we went with it. We've got a number of tight ends that we feel comfortable with, so maybe you keep an extra tight end as opposed to that fullback.
You know how sad I am that they're getting rid of the fullback, man? The fullback is dying, man. The fullback is dying. It's becoming extinct. Protect fullbacks. You guys remember Pat McAfee's that punters are people too? So are fullbacks. You're telling me that there's no room on the Chiefs roster anymore for an Anthony Sherman? There's no room on a Chiefs roster for a Michael Burton anymore? There's no more fullback? This is a sad day, man. My guy, How About Those Chiefs? You should check out his YouTube channel. He tweeted today that he was going through the rosters, and this will be the first time in Andy Reid's career that a fullback would not be on the 53-man roster. Andy Reid has given up on a tried-and-true staple. The fullback. Rob, this development saddens me. That's what we should be talking about, not John Ross or Bob Ross or Betsy Ross. Or Justin Ross, we should be talking about the fact that he confirmed today that he's given up on the tight end, that they got too many fullback, or they got too many tight ends. They're giving up on the fullback. That's the real story of OTAs today.
I mean, Blake Bell just made the roster today. That's what I just heard. Congrats to Blake, because we're not carrying Michael Burton or we're not carrying Anthony Sherman, at least at this juncture in time. You know, things can change by training camp. Maybe a fullback gets cut or maybe something shakes loose with a fullback, but it is a sad day that Andy Reid doesn't have his fullback. What will we do now on third and one if they can't run that fullback dive that barely works?
Blake Bell.
He's going to be the new guy that can't get a yard on third and one? That's his new role?
I'm telling you, Blake Bell. That's what we need to do. Blake Bell is going to be the answer to your question.
Please don't disrespect the Chiefs' backup quarterback, Blake Bell. The Belldozer, baby.
Someone says, I understand I'm asking a slow news day question. Who is Chiefs quarterback three? I'm assuming it's Shane Buechel, that Blaine Gabbert's going to be their quarterback two, and then Shane Buechel is going to be their quarterback three. I would also like to add this, that if Shane Buechel ever gets in the game, they have very serious problems, and none of the other stuff we're talking about matters, because Shane Buechel is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, all of the problems. They might be okay with Blaine Gabbert for like a week or two. They will not be okay with Shane Buechel as their starting quarterback.
You're telling me if on the Friday after opening day, September 8th, we're talking about Buechel, you know, hitting Ross on a deep go, you think the Lions may have done some bad things to the Chiefs that day?
Or the Chiefs are up 72-0. Or the Chiefs have absolutely smoked the Detroit Lions. Someone said it at this point. That something has went terribly, terribly wrong for our Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, the NFL is being openly hypocritical about something. I care about it. We'll see if you guys care about it. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 610 Sports Radio.
Sometimes I feel like I'm fighting a fight alone and I'm the only one that cares. But then sometimes, I mean, I'm also part of the problem too. So, I mean, maybe I'm, you know, just being hypocritical all the way around. So we talked about this a couple of days ago when the vote came down that the NFL is going to allow the flexing of Thursday Night Football. Now, I don't think there is a reason for Thursday Night Football at all, given what we know about football and what it does to your body and your health. But The NFL makes a lot of money off Thursday Night Football, so normally you can follow the money and they're not going to get rid of it. Well, it used to be that you could only play one Thursday Night Football. Well, now you can play two Thursday Night Football games over the course of the season. They also have added the ability to flex Thursday Night Football. So that is something new and that's added to it. And for a league that tells you constantly the importance of player safety, to be so reckless when it comes to Thursday Night Football doesn't really add up to me. So this hasn't really been talked a whole lot about, and I get it. But they are changing the kickoff rules again. We are getting closer and closer to them just simply abolishing the kickoff rules or radically changing it from where it is now. So their numbers suggest that that is the play that results in the most concussions. And the NFL has told us the only thing they really care about with player safety is, do you get a concussion on our dime or not? Here's what Andy Reid had to say about the additions of the new kickoff rule.
I don't know. We'll have to go through all that. My thing is, where does it stop, right? So you start taking pieces, and, you know, we'll see how this goes. But you don't want to take too many pieces away, or you be playing flag football.
No, I think Andy is being a little hyperbolic. But I do agree with the sentiment. There is only so much of the violence and physicality that you can take out of playing football. We tried to do it with helmet to helmet. We tried to do it with roughing the passer. We tried to do it with these other things. There is only so much of it that you can take out of the game. And if you're going to be about player safety, I don't have any issues with that. I want these guys to be healthy. None of us want them to get injured while we're watching it. But I do think there is a understanding of the inherent risk that you assume when you make the choice to play football professionally that these guys have signed up for. And is there a way to safely play football? I'm all here for legislating out of the game dirty hits or unnecessary hits. And they've done that in a lot of ways. We grew up where you could really have a serious crackback block where a guy could not have his head turned. You go up and you blow him up. And you could maybe argue that it was a necessary block, but you now know what blocks you can do and what you can't do and where you can hit a player and where you can't hit a player. We all have that understanding. They've done a decent job, I think, legislating that out of the game. But in my opinion, you can't be as pro Thursday Night Football as the league clearly is and also take this stance that player safety is your number one priority. Those are two very conflicting messages. So either go all in on player safety and really try to do things that can improve the quality of health and life for your players, or don't give a damn and give us football that we want. Why are we spending time on Sundays arguing about roughing the passer? You've told us that player safety isn't that big of a deal, so let's just go all in. That's what frustrates me most about the National Football League, is I feel like they're playing both ends against the middle and nobody is really happy with it. Either be all in on player safety and let's really try to make the game safe as humanly possible in playing football, or let's completely disregard it, give us the football back that we want, and let's just be more honest and transparent about, hey, our number one priority is to make money here, and we will do everything in our power to protect that. You can't do both. You can't serve both masters.
I agree with you, but that's what the NFL is doing. They're cleaning up the small problems and ignoring the big one. You know, it's like, oh, you know, like, if you have a giant hole in the wall, but you rearrange stuff and, you know, put a poster over it or put a painting over it, you still have a giant hole in your wall in your living room. It's still a massive problem, but it just, we cleaned up. It looks better. It's new and aesthetic. By changing the kickoff rule, the NFL thinks it's helping player safety, but by adding the Thursday games, by adding the Friday games, by doing the flex scheduling, by adding the Monday games, by adding a 17th game to this schedule, by adding all those things, the NFL has said, yeah, we don't care about player safety. All they've done is shuffle the deck chairs in the Titanic. They're still not addressing the issue. I agree with you. If you want to be the league's all about player safety, every game is Sunday. No more Monday night. No more Saturdays. No more flexing to Thursdays. Black Friday out of here. We're not playing on Christmas because it's on a Monday this year. Nope, that's not happening. All those things would be their path. But that's not what they care about. They care about making money. And during COVID, they learned they can move games around. And even though players don't like it, it doesn't really matter. So they're going to keep moving games around because they know it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
I mean, in the end, sometimes I feel like we in the media try to fight these fights more than the players do, where the players have a chance to sit down and negotiate these things with the owners, and they always negotiate on the side that the owners are on. More money. They pick it every single time, and that's a trade-off that you're willing to take. Like, the Chiefs this season play 6 games in which they will be on a short rest. 6 games this year. You guys sit down at the table with you and your union that this is the things that you fight for when you collectively bargain. Hey, we're not playing games anymore on less than 6 days rest. If you don't give us the 6 days, those are games that we need. We want to get rid of. But if, as long as the players continue to do this, then the owners, like most companies, are going to push you and push you to find out exactly what they can get. And that's what the owners continue to do. Think about this. These changes to Thursday Night Football happen immediately after changing the CBA. There's nothing the players can do now. There's nothing. And I also think that we're just at the point when it comes to this. I think we're at this point too. Like, I think the owners are going to keep pushing and keep pushing Thursday Night Football. Like, I think Amazon has that much of a power over the National Football League that eventually you're going to play 3 games on Thursday Night Football. Like, they're going to continue to change the rules and change the rules to try to make Amazon and streaming as happy as possible. We talked about it over the course of the week. They are fully invested in trying to grow streaming numbers. Like, they are fully, fully invested in trying to do that.
I mean, they are slowly but surely putting games behind a paywall. I mean, that... we've talked about it before. We've joked on this show. When does Paramount Plus get its own game? But Peacock has one. Amazon, I know they stream the games locally, but Amazon is behind a paywall. That's also behind
Amazon
a paywall.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
So that's going to continue to trend. And I know fans right now in the text are like, well, I know Travis Kelce said on this podcast he likes Thursday games. Hey, if I was making millions, I'd be okay with it too. You guys can not complain about it now, but when Thursday night games, Sunday night games, the Super Bowl is on, you know, subscription basis only, you're not going to like it then. And when the NFL's at 20 games and you have an international team and in week 16, you're seeing backups because everyone's hurt and banged up, you'll care then. It is a slippery slope. And the NFL has shown us they don't do things at zero or, you know, ease into them. They do it. They go all in.
Yeah, they normally put things out as a test to see how you respond to it. You would normally respond pretty well because football is pretty popular in this country, and then they'll continue to grow it. Most of their ideas start kind of small. Hey, let's see what the draft looks like if we move it. And then they continue to grow it and grow it and grow it. And look at what it's turned into. The international games. It used to be 1 or 2 games in London. They now have an international mission. They're trying new countries, new cities. That's going to continue to grow, especially as they added the 17th game. And we all know eventually they're going to add an even number of games. They're going to have 18 games on the schedule that they're just going to continue to make more and more money on. Pete Sweeney is going to call into the show coming up in about 5 minutes. Pete Sweeney is going to be on the show here coming up in just a bit. Andy Reid met with the media today to talk about how much he likes both Justin and John Ross.
Listen, I like both the Rosses, you know, big and little. So the big one is coming along. He feels good. His foot feels good. The surgery that he had worked out well so up to this point. He's made some nice plays for us out here. I know Pat's got trust in him, so that's good to see. And the smaller Ross is extremely fast and quick. And before he got hurt, he was onto a pretty good season. And so he, I like what I see there too.
Faster than you thought he stood out there today.
Well, he's the one that jumped out at everybody at the combine. Just when he ran, I mean, he was extremely fast. I think he set a record there, I believe. So he can move. He can skedaddle, and he's smart, which you need to be in this thing. So
really quick, Rob, let's do a little bit of Chiefs roster math because I think that really matters here. A little bit of roster math to kind of figure this thing out, because we've done this with Justin Ross before, and I've just asked the question, hey, do you think Justin Ross, is there room for him to make the team? So I think they're going to keep 3 quarterbacks. Do you agree? I think they're going to keep 3 quarterbacks. We don't got to completely go through it, but if they're starting OTAs, the draft is over, free agency is over, they maybe will add one player between now and the end of the season that we think, or the end of this offseason portion that we think will make the team. I think it will be a veteran defensive lineman. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Frank Clark joins the team or not, but there are not two or three more players that are not at this OTAs that will be on the team. There maybe is one person. So three running backs. Last year, they kept five running backs: Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, Ronald Jones, and Michael Burton. So we can strike one of those off. They're not going to keep a fullback this year. The four running backs would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, and is there a chance that they maybe keep one undrafted guy, they keep somebody else on the team? I would probably say no. They probably keep three running backs this year. Do you agree or not agree?
I agree. I was going to say, last year, I think Ronald Jones had a good preseason game, kind of saved his spot, et cetera. But I have them at eight players right now. We're on this, or six players right now. I agree with you.
They're going to keep the same four tight ends: Kelce Bell, Noah Gray, and Jody Ford.
Correct.
They're going to keep the same four. This is where I think it gets interesting. So they kept five receivers last year: Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, Sky Moore, and Justin Watson. Let's give them one more space, because I don't think they're keeping seven, but let's give them one more space. They keep six wide receivers. MVS is making this team. Sky Moore is making this team. Kadarius Toney is making the team. Rashee Rice is making the team. Justin Watson, I think, is going to make the team, and Richie James is going to make the team. That's six right there. We think there's a chance they keep seven wide receivers, and now the spot that they had for that extra running back that we don't think is going to make the team, we keep seven wide receivers, and one of them basically is just not active for most of the year. Like, I'm going to guess they probably keep that on the defensive line or the offensive line. They keep that extra person there for depth. I don't think they're keeping seven wide receivers. That's why I'm bringing it up. Like, if you think that Justin Ross is going to make the team or John Ross is going to make the team, then you either think that Justin Watson or Richie James is not going to make the team. And both Justin Ross and John Ross both can't make the team. Both of them, unless you think they're keeping eight running wide receivers. They're not keeping eight wide receivers.
No, and I agree with you. I think if that extra position, they're going to keep at O-line, because Donovan Smith's a player who's battled injury. I don't think they're going to cut Lucas Niang, but he's a guy who's battled injury. They have gone out of their way to keep Prince. I cannot pronounce his last name. Protect him. He's a swing tackle guard type. I think historically, Brett Veach has always cared more about protecting Patrick Mahomes than giving a weapon. So I think the extra body, the extra space they've created, is far more likely to be on the offensive or defense line than it is a wide receiver. I have them at five wide receivers. I agree with you. I'm not as sold on Justin Watson being a lock. I think he's on the shakiest ground, but I don't foresee a situation where where they don't carry five.
Text line 913-586-7610. Why can't John Ross take up McColl's role? Being a jet sweep guy doesn't seem too difficult for someone with his athletic ability. Yo, how many guys like that do they need on the team? What's Kadarius Toney's role on the team? What's Sky Moore's role on the team? How many guys do they need to run this jet sweep that they run, what, maybe 10 to 15 times a year? Like, I just don't think John Ross is making the team. I just don't think there's roster space for him to do it. Maybe there's enough space for one guy who completely just shines. You dominate camp, you dominate OTAs, and they keep all this space. Man, one of these guys that you guys like is just going to miss the team. There's too many spots that are already taken. There's too much talent on the team. There's not a lot of space left at wide receiver for all of these unknown guys to make the team. Somebody ain't making the team. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk to our guy Pete Sweeney about this. Pete Sweeney said the Chiefs fans are maybe paying attention to the wrong Ross, talking about John Ross. We'll get his thoughts as he is out at Chiefs OTAs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
If James Bradbury didn't want that meme, you know what? He shouldn't have held him.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is former Chiefs All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz, and the best Chiefs content in town is right here with Carrington Harrison on The Drive.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by a dear friend of ours. He is the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website on all of the interwebs, Pete Sweeney of ArrowheadPride.com. Plaid Prince, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. It's been a little bit. I've been going through some phone issues today, so I hope they don't pop up here. I hope I sound okay. Do you see that?
No, absolutely. Pete, I got a little bit of a beef with you. You know you're my guy. But you're doing that thing you do every OTAs where you start hyping up somebody who isn't going to make the team. You did this last year with Malik Herring. You came on here. Oh, man, Malik Herring, he's somebody to watch for. And we've never heard from him or seen him again. You've never even interviewed Malik Herring. You're doing that same thing with John Ross right now, and it upsets me greatly.
I also told you during OTAs last year, and look, I highlight a lot of players, but I also said that Marquez Valdes-Scantling was having a nice OTAs, maybe the most important player in the playoff run for the Chiefs, you could argue. I also said that you should watch
Who's arguing that,
Watson.
Pete?
This off-cast from Tampa named Justin Watson, who out of nowhere made the team and had some really important deep catches for the Chiefs, especially as they were battling injuries during certain games. So, look, am I a perfect shooter here? Am I a Jimmy Butler, so to speak? No, but I don't think I'm Russell Westbrook. I think I do hit a couple shots.
So we actually went through the roster math real quick. Last year they kept five receivers on their 53-man roster. Let's say that they keep six this year. Couldn't you argue that the six are already filled? I mean, you got MVS, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Rashee Rice, Justin Watson, and Richie James. Aren't those the six? I mean, you see a scenario in which they could keep seven or more wide receivers?
Well, they were able to keep nine offensive linemen last year, and I think what's changed over the years is the use of the practice squad. There were changes during COVID that allowed for more veterans allowed on the practice squad. And so that has made the Chiefs, I think, you know, have a stash of some important offensive linemen that are able to remain more so on the practice squad in an emergency. So if they were to keep nine again, you take away the fullback. If someone really proves himself, you can make a case for seven wide receivers. Now, that being said, I agree with you guys. The Chiefs have never kept seven wide receivers since Andy Reid took over in 2013. I know you guys have mentioned the aforementioned Watson as potential of getting cut. but he comes with $1.4 million worth of dead cap. Richie James, the same thing with $500,000, which, okay, these are billionaires we're dealing with, so that's not the same to you or I, but still don't want to waste money. And so if I'm betting today, I think you got it right. I think Richie James is the final wide receiver on this roster. They end up keeping six. Now, that being said, there's going to be players that push them. I think there's some real depth at the end of the roster. And looking at practice today, John Ross, to me, was interesting. Maybe the fastest player when it came to offensive guys at camp. And for some reason, it's a hot take in Kansas City to like the guy with, you know, one receiving yard or more over someone who hasn't had any yardage in the NFL ever. John Ross, over the course of his career, has accumulated, you know, nearly 1,000 yards. He has battled injuries just like Justin Ross, except he's done it before. And so I like what I saw today. It's the first day of many days of evaluation, as you know. We'll be back there for one practice next week. We do that twice, and then we get the full bevy of mandatory minicamp. But look, in this padless OTA practice, I was impressed with the speed of John Ross and the fact that he's actually played in the NFL.
Pete, I feel like people are looking for reasons for Richie James to not make the team, where I'm looking at a guy, you got him for next to nothing. He's a proven NFL player. I'm not saying he's a great NFL player, but at this point, he's shown that he'll probably have a 7-8 year career, and seems to me perfect to be that fourth or fifth wide receiver. Or if an injury happens, you feel good about Richie James. Like, I kind of feel like he's been the one who has been the most disrespected, that nobody looks at him as a lottery ticket. You look at John Ross as a lottery ticket, Justin Ross, the ultimate lottery ticket. I don't know why no one views Richie James like that, even though he's a guy who had 500 yards receiving last year.
He had a breakout season in a system that had a lot of injuries. And, you know, for him to accumulate that amount of yardage, you would have to see the injuries. But I just think you're right when you talk about the value when it comes to special teams. A not often talked about scenario in Kansas City this year is you're probably looking at a new punt returner and a new kick returner. As you look at last year's and Kadarius Toney, and you look at Isaiah Pacheco, and you're probably not going back to those guys considering their importance on offense, right? You lose Juju Smith-Schuster, everyone wants to say Kadarius Toney is the number one wide receiver. You really don't want that guy returning punts for you as well. I think that's risky business. And you've seen a tendency of the Chiefs to move off receivers when they become valuable in the offense, like you saw with Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill. And so I think Richie James fits that for you. You know, you could see in some of the videos that have come out at camp today that he's already, you know, back there taking punts and kick returns for the Chiefs, practicing back there. And I think he has that value that you're not going to put a Justin Ross back there. Justin Ross is not a special teams player. So it's not even really beating Richie James. It's beating a Watson, and again, you would be saying goodbye to $1.4 million in cap space. That's a significant amount to just waste. Now, Chiefs have done it before. If you want to bring up Jermaine Carter to linebacker, where they've guaranteed money and walked away before, yes, but the talent has to be undeniable. And look, maybe that'll be the case, right? Maybe he'll push the envelope, but I just think it's much more likely that you're right in your thought process, where it just makes a lot more sense for them to keep Watson and James, and a player coming off of 500 yards, a breakout season in a sense on offense, than to go and lean into that lottery ticket. Now, maybe there's a scenario where one or two of these wide receivers end up on the practice squad, and I think that'll certainly be the case in Kansas City.
Right now, we're talking to Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, one of the more popular Chiefs websites on all of the interwebs. What do you make of Patrick Mahomes' comments from earlier today?
Love the commentary of Mahomes. I think that Patrick Mahomes, I know some people know that I grew up on the East Coast, much like Derek Jeter, is writing a book on how to deal with media members. I think if, you know, you're a developing quarterback, you're coming out, you know, you're a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young, and you're about to enter that phase, and you want to talk about guys who really do a good job with every single question that they answer, every media event, you know, whether it be the match or popping up at the Kentucky Derby, dealing with a conversation or a question about his brother, and even now this contract situation, just perfectly answering the question. I think he left room for potential talks here, but he also said that no matter what, it's going to be team-friendly to an extent, which is something that he learned from Tom Brady, and he is one of the most popular players of any sport in the world, so he knows that additional money is going to be there when it comes down to, I think, endorsements and things like that, so he's not over-worried about it. But if you heard the comments today and think he shut the door in a contract restructure, I don't think he did at all. I think he said the right things and said, look, we're always going to leave room to make sure I'm surrounded by talent. That being said, there's a fine line, right? Like, there needs to be, I think, an adjustment here. And because he's Mahomes, because he's handled it this way since he came out, if there is an adjustment, which I tend to still think there might be, I think average per year, he still might be the highest paid player by the time we get to week one. It'll be handled very friendly. It'll be handled very quietly, amicably. We won't hear about it until it's done, and that's the way Patrick Mahomes wants it. He's writing the book on how to handle the job off the field.
Yeah, I just think, at least when it comes to this, and a lot of this to me is just started by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, we've never had any reason to believe that Mahomes and the organization aren't on the same page. Like, you and I are always on the internet. Normally there is like a rumblings or an article or someone, anonymous source. We have no reason to believe that Mahomes is not happy with his contract. And it sounds like you and I agree. At some point, I think we wake up and we see a tweet from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport that tells us that the Chiefs have reworked the deal, that these conversations are happening behind scenes. There's no real reason to have these things play itself out publicly. But one day we'll wake up, whether it's this year, 2 years, 3 years, who knows when it'll be, but the Chiefs will announce, hey, we gave Mahomes more of a signing bonus today, and we restructured that gives him more money in the short term but continues to give us the flexibility to continue to build the best roster in the NFL.
Yeah, much like it was handled with Brett Veach and Andy Reid's contract extension. Suddenly, one day, you found out about it, right? It was handled very quietly, and that's how the organization wants it. And because it's not an impending contract, it's not like that there are folks talking about this. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes and his camp wants it talked about publicly. They've liked this from the beginning. Their representation has had a relationship with Brett Veach dating back to before the draft. I know there had been some rumblings about some interest with the Chicago Bears and how Mahomes could have been a Chicago Bear, but he always, it seemed, wanted to be in Kansas City. And look, this is a Texas kid. Not that he knew a ton about Kansas City or liked the area or something. He liked the people that worked in the Chiefs building, and that included Brett Veach. And they were able to get this thing done and get the trade done and get him here. And every step of the way, it has been handled quietly, friendly, and, again, projecting to the fans and everyone that follows his team across the league and across the country that they are on the same page. And, look, if you're asking me right now, and again, I don't have anything really on this because it is handled quietly, I think there is an adjustment before the season starts. But there's nothing to be worried about here, because Mahomes will get his money. He will deservingly be the highest paid player in the NFL. And guess what? They're still going to have plenty of room to surround him with talent. And if they need to make more room in the contract, it'll be built how it is now with the guarantee mechanisms, they call it, where they can free up space when they need to. And that's it. I think we're doing the much ado about nothing thing. And sometimes you have to do that when, Josh Vernier, but the Royals are as bad as they are, and we don't have a ton to talk about here in Kansas City until closer to September.
It's funny you say that, because that's actually how I feel about Chris Jones' contract. Like, to me, the Chris Jones contract is only interesting if you don't think he's going to be on the team. And then it becomes a real serious conversation. But I don't know a single Chiefs fan that doesn't or thinks that this is going to be Chris Jones' last year in Kansas City. So everything you just said about the Royals aren't good, so we're trying to find other things to talk about, that's how I feel about Chris Jones' deal.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and I think this is something that will be worked out a lot quieter than last time. The Chris Jones one is a little bit more interesting to me because, I don't want to say it got ugly, but the last time around it was teetering on the edge of getting a little dicey, and you just don't want to see that again. You hope it's handled in a more quiet manner, but I tend to think that this will be the outlier. If you've noticed, the Veach regime is not in love with giving these long-term contracts to someone that is about the age of Chris Jones. But Chris Jones is a different animal to me. It's that near Aaron Donald level of prime dominance. And so, like we're talking about with Mahomes, I do have optimism that this time around it's handled a little bit more in a friendly manner. Nothing really makes it to the public, and Chris Jones is here and happy when mandatory minicamp and OTAs and eventually training camp rolls along here. But that one's a tinge more interesting than the Mahomes one, because we have seen it get interesting before.
That is our guy, Pete Sweeney, joining us on the show today. Pete Sweeney is out at Chiefs OTAs as so many fun and exciting things are happening. Pete, how excited are you to join our next podcast, Bad Movies, Worst Opinions? We're dropping it next Tuesday after Memorial Day. Baywatch, how excited are you?
I took in Baywatch, as you guys know, and it was no doubt one of the worst movies I ever watched. I checked how much time was left a good 4 or 5 times. So I'm ready to talk about it with you guys and ready for some folks to get some takes on something other than the Chiefs for a change.
That is our guy, Pete Sweeney, joining us on the show today. Thanks, Pete.
All right.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Pete Sweeney, joining us on the show today. Rob, Baywatch's not one of the worst movies you've ever seen, right? I mean, Baywatch is not that bad of a movie. That's a ridiculous take to have. I know everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but that's a ridiculous opinion to have.
That's spoken like someone who never had to sit through Mac and Dennis.
Or you just haven't seen a lot of movies. If Baywatch is one of the worst movies that you've ever seen, you just haven't seen a lot of movies. And I've seen a lot of bad movies before. Like a lot of bad movies. Nacho Libre is worse than Baywatch.
What's the movie you walked out of? Midsommar?
Yeah, that movie.
That's just weird.
It just wasn't for me. Like, some of you probably love, like, I didn't like that Heredity or Heredity, whatever the name of that movie is. And it was that same director. I was like, let me give it another shot. And I went to go see Midsommar. And that's the only movie that I've ever walked out of. Just couldn't do it. I mean, there's other times I should have walked out. But that movie, I just, in the middle, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. No, thank you. Please get me out of this movie. The worst movie I've ever seen, though, is Sucker Punch. That's the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, just nothing redeemable about it. I would not tell anybody to go see it. Absolutely awful movie.
That's Zack Snyder, right? You fell for the Zack Snyder buzz? Because that's the guy who did 300. That's him, yeah.
No, Zack Snyder got me.
Mm-hmm. We've all been got by Zack Snyder.
We've all been got by from the people who made fill in the blank. Like, oh, man, I love this movie, so I know I'm going to love this one. No. I mean, sometimes that happens, but no. I mean, M. Night Shyamalan has been getting away with that ruse for 20 years. I made Sixth Sense. Oh, well, if you made Sixth Sense, then this movie has to be good. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be good at all.
By the way, in hindsight, how do we not know the spoiler in The Sixth Sense? They literally show us his death in the first scene. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling a 20-year-old movie, but let's think back to The Sixth Sense.
That?
The first scene of the film, he gets shot.
Why are you spoiling one of the all-time films? You're just going to spoil it here on this show?
I mean, it came out. There are people driving cars. There are people drinking beer who are younger than that movie.
Someone on the text line says Air was worse than Baywatch.
Whoa.
We're not disrespecting Air.
Air what?
We're not just. You might. Maybe he means Air Bud. I don't know. He can't mean Air with Viola Davis, Ben Affleck, and Matt Damon. That can't be the Air that texter was talking about. It can't be. Maybe he meant Con Air. Maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he meant the air up there. He could not have been talking about Air that just came out a couple of months ago. That can't be the movie that he was talking about. Because you know, Air is phenomenal.
Air is really good. I watched Air last weekend. Fantastic film.
Really good movie.
Do you know what I watched recently that I was like surprised by? Like, I'm like, this wasn't terrible. Renfield.
I haven't heard of that movie before.
It's the new Nicolas Cage one where he's a vampire.
I haven't seen that.
I mean, if you got 90 minutes to kill and you're like, yeah, why not? It's not bad. Not a bad watch.
I haven't.
Awkwafina's in it. I believe that's how you say her name.
Someone said maybe he's talking about The Last Airbender. Yeah, no, that had to have been it. I don't know how you could watch Air and not like it. Like, it genuinely confuses me. That movie should be like a 9.1 on IMDb. That's how likable I thought the movie was.
I didn't like the way they handled Jordan, like the character, but outside of that, it was fine.
I didn't really like the last 10 to 15 minutes of Air. I just didn't really like it. I mean, I know that it's like based on a true story, but the last 10 to 15 minutes just did not seem realistic. Like, I don't think it happened this way. Like it shouldn't happen in a way that I come away thinking, yo, that's not realistic. And that's my only real complaint about Air. I was like, this doesn't seem or feel accurate. But I mean, we've seen so many movies like Gary Bertier. That's not what happened with Gary Bertier in real life. So, and we all love Remember the Titans, but I mean, like 5% of that movie is actually accurate for what actually happened in real life if you ever do a very quick Google search on the movie. Coming up at the top of the hour, I just want to complain about something. Now, I'm going to complain about something that is going to make some of you happy that this is my complaint, and some of you will be very upset, but that's just the drive. Keep it right here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.